الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصينا ماءه العادون ولا يعدي هخه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفتن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فترى الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته اللهم أفس صلة صلواتك وسلامة تسليماتك على أفضل التعينات المفاضة من الأماء رباني وآخر التنزلات المضافة إلى نوع الإنسان كان الله ولم يكن ماءه شيء ثاني محسي لعوالم حضرات القامس في وجوده وكل شيء أحسيناه في إمام المبين الرسول النبي المكي القرشي المدني التحامي صاحب لواء الحمد ومقام المحمود عبد القاسم محمد الحميد صل على محمد وعلى أخيه وفهره وابن عمه وخليفته من بعده وقائد الغر المحجلين يا سب الدين إمام المتقين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب
الله
وعلى ابنته الطاهرة الحوراء العنسية الراضية المرضية الشفية يوم الجزاء فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها
الله
وعلى سبتي رحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد وحسن بن علي وحجة القائم المنتظر المحدي اللهم صل على حججك على عبادك وعمنائك في بلادك اللهم سهل منحجهم وعجل في فرجهم وجعلنا من محبيهم ومواليهم وشيعتهم ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
I begin in the name of Allah, the most beneficent and most merciful. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq Allah has granted us tonight to reflect and commemorate the passing away of the greatest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon earth. The Prophet of Allah was the greatest and continues to be the greatest ni'mah or the source of ni'mah. The greatest in creation, the closest one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ Indeed, certainly your guardian, your wali is Allah and His Prophet. And the ayah continues, and it continues towards showing the wilaya of those who establishes salat and gives zakat in the state of ruku, meaning pointing to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to send His messenger, He sends along with Him the miracle, His mu'jiza. I continue to emphasize on this point that mu'jizah does not mean anything but a proof and a testimony of prophethood. That is called mu'jizah, nothing else. Everything else is called karamat. So mu'jizah, what is mu'jizah in itself? Mu'jizah is that divine guardianship that Allah Himself holds, that wilaya that Allah Himself holds. He passes on that wilaya to the one whom He designates as someone who is going to be on earth on behalf of Him and would represent Him. And so that it becomes a hujja upon humanity, it becomes the final proof upon humanity that this person who is claiming that he is divinely guided does derive that power from that divine source, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And therefore we find that this mu'jizah that the prophets bring, it is something that is completely out of the realm of the basic cause and effect that we find in the nizam or in the nature or in the system that we are leading our lives. Otherwise, what the prophets had brought or what the prophets had demonstrated to prove themselves to be the representatives of Allah upon earth would be overtaken and overpowered by other normal human beings. And that did not happen. Now let us look from Hazrat Ibrahim, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some of those powers. And why were those powers given in the first place? To show that he is the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if we look at Hazrat Ibrahim in Surah Baqarah verse 260, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is narrating, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحِي الْمَوْتَى. O Allah, show me, how do you raise the dead? O Allah, demonstrate it to me that how you raise the dead. And Hazrat Ibrahim, when he asked this question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Allah says, don't you have certitude and iman and faith upon what has been told to you, Ibrahim? You are my messenger and you are asking me, how are the dead going to be raised? Hazrat Ibrahim says, Bala, O Allah, yes, I have iman. Walakin liyatma'inna khalbi. But I want to still attain the level of itminan and certitude, that tranquility that I do not possess in my heart. So what we find, Hazrat Ibrahim does not feel that now that he has been divinely guided, he is representing Allah upon earth and he is the messenger of Allah that closes the doors of the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Ibrahim. And he should just go out and reach out and teach people, and he should not keep learning and discovering the ma'arif that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. That is not the case. We find Hazrat Ibrahim being a Nabi who is so close to Allah, still want to get to the next level. Still want to achieve and strive. So if we are the Ummah of a Prophet, and if we think that religion is enough for us, and we continue to sustain whatever we knew in first 15 to 20 years of our life, that is not going to be enough. Hazrat Ibrahim, we find here. So here my topic is not this, but what I'm trying to say is that Hazrat Ibrahim asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, show me how you raise the dead. Now Allah does not demonstrate Himself. Now Allah hands off that power of raising the dead so that Ibrahim Himself can experience. And what Allah says, Oh Ibrahim, go off and take four birds and then slaughter them, mix them up and make four portions and keep them on the top of four mountains. And then Ibrahim, you call them. And so the verses of Holy Quran says that Ibrahim calls and the birds start coming and leaping towards Hazrat Ibrahim. So now it is not Allah who is demonstrating how dead are raised. Ibrahim himself has been given that power by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Ibrahim calls dead, they are raised and they are coming towards Hazrat Ibrahim. Allah. So this is the wilaya, this is the authority, this is the guardianship that has been granted to Hazrat Ibrahim. And how many tests did Ibrahim go through? If I only talk about Hazrat Ibrahim, we would end our discussion on Hazrat Ibrahim. But I want to move further and show you the miracles of other prophets. Let us see how Hazrat Musa was dealt. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَلْقِ عَسَاكَ. And we did reveal to Moses, we signaled to Moses, O Moses, throw down your staff. The moment Moses throws down his staff, which is made up of wood, the staff turns into a serpent, a snake, and swallows all the snakes that are in the court of Pharaoh. Now if you look at the realm, in the realm of cause and effect, again, you will never find under any circumstances a piece of wood turning into a snake. And then what do we find? Musa had been granted that power. As long as that asa is in the hand of Musa and Musa throws it on the ground, we find that would turn into a snake. So this wilaya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses, He has given to His messenger, to His prophet, Hazrat Musa. And therefore you find, when in the court of Pharaoh, when Musa throws his staff and it swallows all the serpents, the verses of Holy Quran say that those magicians who were there and were brought by Pharaoh to challenge Moses, they immediately prostrate and accept Iman. They bring about Iman. Why? Because they knew that they were on the top of the top edge of that science or that knowledge that could fake a rope into a serpent. But now they find something. This is completely out of the realm. It made them, you know, they got into that the state of Haira, and they knew it is not from this world. He has to be divinely guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Musa, we find, is given this authority. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He commands Musa, اضرب بعصاك الحجر فانفجرت منه عصنتا عشرة عينا. O Musa, strike with your staff upon a rock. And from suddenly when Musa strikes his staff upon a rock, there are 12 springs gushing out from a rock. Have you seen an asa, somebody strikes on a rock and there gushes springs? No. But Hazrat Musa was given this divine authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Hazrat Musa is demonstrating that authority. Another thing that Hazrat Musa we find doing is calling Bani Israel and leading them from the Bahar or from the river. Hazrat Musa comes, the river separates. Hazrat Musa crosses along with the followers of Musa, and then the river closes back again. Pharaoh thinks that there is an opportunity. It's a natural cause and effect. When the river is open, I should be able to go in. Just like Musa walks in along with his army and he is drowned in the same place. We find this was the divine wilaya that was granted to Hazrat Musa because he was leading and he was representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we go forward and we see Hazrat Dawood. We find Hazrat Dawood giving, Allah giving him authority. وَسَقَرْنَا مَعَ دَاوُودَ الْجِبَالِ يُسَبِّحْنَا وَالطَّيْرَ. We have disposed the mountains and the birds to glorify us with Dawood. Dawood had authority over the mountains and birds, and they are able to communicate with Hazrat Dawood. And another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we made iron soft for Dawood. If Dawood would hold off to an iron, it would turn into a wax and he could do whatever he wants to. It was something completely out of the realm of cause and effect. The reason we are talking about this is there are people, there are mentalities that keep bringing up the issue, especially those who are atheists, who cannot see around them to witness with the cause and effect that exists around them, that there has to be a creator who has brought this, you know, universe into existence. And if the balance is broken or shifted, even with a fraction, this whole universe would completely crumble down and, you know, be completely destructed. And when the prophets came, these were the excuses. Every time the Prophet came with these divine miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they denied, and they denied because of the hatred or because of the despise or because of the superiority, because of the takabbur and the pride and the self-righteousness that they possessed in their hearts, and they were not willing to accept the message. Otherwise, the message was loud and clear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite a salawat. Then another place, Hazrat Sulaiman, فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ. We have given him, we have disposed of, we have given the authority of winds to Hazrat Sulaiman, and they move and they blow upon the command of Hazrat Sulaiman, not upon the cause and effect that we see, by which we have the storms that we recently experienced. When Sandy was coming and was passing the capital of this country, which is the strongest country in this whole world, nobody could stop Sandy. We had to confront Sandy however it was. Why? Because with all the technology that we have no power or control over the winds, over the weather. There is another Nizam, there is another source that is controlling them. But just imagine, during the time of Hazrat Sulaiman, he had the authority to control. A tornado or a storm would come, and Hazrat Sulaiman would say, go back, and it will just return, just like that. These were the miracles. Again, why were the prophets given these miracles? So that they could take mankind towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mankind has witnessed all these miracles. If they say that they have not witnessed miracles, then history is full of proofs. Then we move forward, and then we see that Hazrat Isa is claiming that, oh people, I can bring, or I can raise a dead, or you make something for me, and I will instill life into that. Ali Imran verse 49, in which Hazrat Isa says, "Anni akhluqu lakum, I will create for you minatin kahayati tair, from the soil like a bird." These are the verses of Quran. Fa anfukhu fihi fa yakunu tairan. You bring a bird which you just made, a statue of a bird, and I will instill, I will breathe into it life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how that I, when I am going to breathe into it, the life, into the paykar of Hazrat Adam, then he says, the malaika should bow down into prostration. Here, the same verb is being used by Hazrat Isa, فَأَنْفُخُ فِيهِ فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا, and it is going to become a bird. The moment I am going to breathe into it life, it will be raised and become living. Then we find that Hazrat Isa continues with the word saying, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat Isa also says, I can cure somebody and bring back a blind person's eyesight. Hazrat Isa claims that I will cure a leper of his leprosy. A person who has lost his limbs out of leprosy will be cured and his limbs would come back as if they existed. And this was demonstrated by Hazrat Isa. Hazrat Isa is coming to this world and propagating the message of Allah, and he is demonstrating these miracles. And then we find that all these prophets, my dear brothers and sisters, the list goes on and on. All these prophets, when they came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they demonstrated who they are, and they brought their miracles, they all specialized in certain mu'jiza or a certain miracle which was needed or which was the need of that time. But this is something that the Prophet of our time says that we should contemplate on. The Prophet of Allah says, أَنَّهُ قَالْ مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَنْزُرَ إِلَىٰ آدَمَ فِي إِلْمِهِ وَإِلَىٰ نُوحٍ فِي تَخْوَاهُ وَإِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي حِلْمِهِ وَإِلَىٰ مُوسَى فِي حَيْبَتِهِ وَإِلَىٰ عِيسَى فِي عِبَادَتِهِ فَلْيَنْزُرْ إِلَىٰ عَلِي بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. This is the wasi of our beloved messenger, and the messenger of Allah says that if you want to see the kamala, the perfection of all the anbiya coming together in one person, then just look at Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is the wasi of the Prophet we are talking about, my dear brothers and sisters, who had the power. The riwaya says that if you want to see Adam in his knowledge, if you want to see Hazrat Nuh in his piety and taqwa, if you want to see Hazrat Ibrahim in his fortitude and hilm, if you want to see Musa in his haiba and awe, if you want to see Hazrat Isa in his worship, then you should see Amirul Mu'mineen. All the kamalat, when they come together, it becomes the successor and the executor of the will of the messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. To this messenger, the ummah says, Ummi. He is an ummi. That means he is illiterate. That means that he is not better than us. That means that he is just like us. That means that he is helpless just like us. This is the ummah talking about whom? Sayyidur Rasul. Our Prophet Rasulullah is the leader of all the anbiya. Our Prophet Rasulullah has the kamalat of all the anbiya. And if I tell you the meaning of wali, what wali means khurb. Wali means closeness. Now this closeness, if you look at who is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah is deriving the wilaya that Allah himself possesses from him. We are not saying Rasulullah is independent of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we say that, it is shirk. We are saying Rasulullah is deriving these powers. When Adam can have these powers, who taught Adam, When Nuh can have this power, then who helped Nuh? When Ibrahim can have this power, after giving the exam, after being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas the Prophet of Allah is coming upon this earth and saying the message of Islam, whose wali has all these kamalat, whose wali has demonstrated all these kamalat, it is a shame for the ummah to consider this prophet like them. And then happens what we are saying in society right now. If somebody makes a movie to assassinate the character of the Holy Prophet, it is because the ummah itself has not valued who they had amongst them. The Prophet of Allah says that أَوَّلُمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِي. Allah had created my noors first. It is the Prophet, another narration which is from Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, when Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari says that I said to the Prophet of Allah, أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَا هُوَ. What was the first thing that Allah created? O Messenger of Allah, tell me what was that thing that Allah created first. فَقَالْ نُورُ نَبِيَّكَ يَا جَابِرْ. It was the nur of your prophet, O Jabir. خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ خَلَقَ مِنْهُ كُلَّ خَيْرٍ. First Allah created the nur of Rasulullah, and then He created everything that is good around it. And then we find other narrations in which the Prophet of Allah says, كُنْتُ نَبِيًّا وَآدَمُ بَيْنَ الْمَاءِ وَالتِّينِ. I was the prophet while Adam was in the state of soil and water. At that time, I was a Nabi. I was the prophet. And when all these Anbiya has these kamalat, none of the Muslim Ummah would deny that Hazrat Isa could raise the dead. None of them would deny that Hazrat Sulaiman could direct the winds to move from this side to that side. And none of the Muslim Ummah would deny Hazrat Musa could separate the river so his companions could follow him. But what do they deny? They deny the personality of the Holy Prophet. They do not accept that he is going to be Shafi. When Quran is saying that manzalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'izni, Allah is going to provide that permission. Whoever is provided permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is going to intercede, not everybody. And the ummah, unfortunately, is contemplating. The point, my dear brothers and sisters, is that you find in society, in our society, when we find an ideology of a certain person, some ideas of a certain person coming and they are rising in fame, now what you want to do, you try to cut down or you see his opponents trying to bring down his ideas. But if the ideas are really good and people are thronging and following, what is the next thing you go and try to find? You try to find the dirty laundry of that person. This happens all the time in the society. We see people come with claims that they are going to make this nation this, that, and they are politicians. They come and suddenly somebody comes up with something that he did 15 years ago, and then he has to just back off. Right? So what is this? When the idea is good and the idea is something that is very, very receptive to people, then you try to discredit the person. This is what is happening with Islam. Quran and the teachings of the Messenger of Allah are such that the whole humanity is receptive to it if it is presented to them without any bias. Now what they want to do? The enemies of Islam want to discredit the personality of the Holy Prophet. So after that, anything that is going to be sent would be discredited. This is what the enemies of Islam want to do. And they don't have to go forward, we don't have to see outside of Islam. That is the unfortunate thing. Muslims are debating on things like, the Prophet could not read, the Prophet could not write, the Prophet did not know what to do about it. The Prophet, mazallah, was delusional in the state of hizyan, mazallah. This is how the ummah, right next to the deathbed of the Holy Prophet, is deriving and concluding about the Holy Prophet. If that is the case, then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. In your Prophet is the best exemplar that you need to follow. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Holy Quran that the best exemplar, the best role model for mankind is the Prophet of Allah, can the Prophet of Allah get out of the realm of Isma? When Hazrat Isa can possess those values, when Hazrat Musa can possess those values, and Quran is testifying, it is unfortunate that the Ummah of Rasulullah does not accept Rasulullah to be at the station that Allah had granted him. When Quran says that Qaba Khawsain aw Adna, my Prophet came closer and closer and closer, such that there was only a difference of the two bows, or even lesser than that. Whereas Hazrat Musa says, oh Allah, I want to see, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Lan Tarani ya Musa, you cannot see me, you do not possess the power to withstand my tajalli. And Rasulullah is being raised to heavens and being brought up into the heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying that in Quran. Please cite a salawat. This Prophet is being bullied. His message is being bullied. Why? Because we do not have enough role models. We are not proud Muslims. We do not take pride in being who we are. We feel that we have to mingle and be part of everything, anything that we are part of, and we should not be proud. But I say, my dear brothers and sisters, we should be part of sharing our values that could excel this nation. This nation that has given us all the opportunities in the form of materialism, and we are able to excel in our professional field. If we want to share something, this nation is going through spiritual poverty. And if we as Muslims do not have the courage to bring about the teachings of the Holy Prophet, then obviously the people who are here would complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. I had a neighbor, I knew somebody, but he never talked about Islam. He only talked about weather, how the weather is good today, or how the weather is going to be good tomorrow. Please recite a salawat. So the Prophet of Allah had time and time again told the Ummah what his relationship was, and the Muslims knew it clearly. Another verse of Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلَهُ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, that the Prophet of Allah is not anything but a Rasul, but a messenger of Allah. So he did not say that when he is saying, when the wahi is coming upon him and he's saying that time he is Rasul, and while he is holding down his grandsons, he's not a Rasul. That was not the case. There is an itlaq, there is an absolute statement that my Prophet is a Rasul, whether he sleeps, whether he wakes up, whether he walks, or whether he makes a treaty, or whether he fights in the battlefield. He is a prophet. Now there are people around the Prophet who professed and accepted Islam, and they had their doubts all the time. And they said that proudly many, many times. Today how much I have doubted, I have not doubted before. This is how, and unfortunately we find that those whom we claim are infallible and we can prove it with Quran, Muslims have problem with that. But those whom Quran says they are not infallible, Muslims consider them to be infallible. The Sahaba, they give that absolute blanket of infallibility to all the Sahaba. They are all stars. You can go off and grab any one of them and you will be fine. If you'd show them a historical proof that they deviated from the path of Islam, they do not accept it. If you show them the proof that the Prophet of Allah is going to disown his ummah when he sees them on the Day of Judgment, that this is not my ummah. These are authentic narrations in the books of our brothers. And yet, we find that no, everybody, we are going to somehow justify every mean action of these people. But when it comes to the personality of the Holy Prophet, everybody and anybody can walk in and we have no claims and we have nothing. We think he is just like us. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to emphasize this point that the prophets were divinely inspired and they were infallible, and every act and every word that they said was a divinely guided word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why our prophets, when they made treaties, when they reconciled, it is very interesting that somebody like Abu Sufyan, if you go back and look into the history of Islam, you will find Abu Sufyan being an arch enemy of Islam for years and years and years. Nobody, there was not a single Muslim who was not thirsty of the blood of Abu Sufyan on the victory of Makkah. But if you see the level of reconciliation that the Prophet of Allah had, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we have not sent you but as a mercy for mankind. And we find that person like Abu Sufyan is being left to go about doing what he was doing. The Prophet of Allah gave him a choice. And there's a scholar from Ahl Sunnah, he mentions this very beautifully, in which he says that we consider there were only two groups. One was the kuffar, and then the other was Muslims. Under Muslims you will have two categories, one is munafiq and one is, you know, mu'min. But he says, no, there were three categories. One was kuffar and one was of Muslims. And the third category was of tulakha, those whom the Prophet had left or freed. And tulakha are the people who were the arch enemies of Islam. And the Prophet of Allah left them on the day of the victory of Mecca. Now this scholar says that it is upon them to prove that they have truly attained Iman and they have worked for Islam, and if they do not do it, they are not included into the ranks of Muslims. And this is the same word when Yazid ibn Ma'aviyah lanatullah alayh claims victory. Hazrat Zainab salamullahi alayha says, Yabna Tulakha, O son of Tulakha, whom my grandfather had freed. Yabna Tulakha. So we find that this category has infiltrated into the ranks of Islam and trying to belittle the personality of the Holy Prophet only to justify those that they think they were sacred. And this was the case even while the Prophet was taking his last breath. The Prophet was calling for pen and a paper so he would write a will which would completely ensure that Islam and the leadership of Islam is protected. But the Muslim Ummah, the same Muslim Ummah, said, no, you are, don't give pen and paper to this person, he is in delusional state. And on the other hand, when we see narrations how the Prophet of Allah was going through, we find that his beloved daughter, who was on his deathbed, and the narration says that the Prophet had slept and Hazrat Zahra was holding the head of the Holy Prophet, and she tears started rolling out of her eyes and did fell upon the face of the Holy Prophet. And the Prophet of Allah wakes up and he says, Ya Habibati, O my beloved, what is wrong with you? Why are you crying? Hazrat Zahra says, oh my beloved father, I am seeing what I will be going through. I am losing you at this point. And then even in that state, the Prophet of Allah is not worried about himself. He is trying to console Zahra. He's telling Zahra, oh my beloved daughter, don't you know that Allah has honored us with 7 things? It is your father who was honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of prophethood. Aren't you happy, O Zahra, that your father is the last and the final messenger who is Sayyidul Mursaleen? And then he says, O Zahra, your husband is the wali and the wasi of the last messenger of Allah, O Zahra. Aren't you satisfied with this, O Zahra? And then, O Zahra, it is in your family whom Allah had honored with wings in heavens, Jafar Tayyar, the uncle of your husband. And then he says, O Zahra, it is your sons. They are your sons who are Sibte Ummah, who are the grandsons of the Ummah. And they are the ones who are the Wali and Wasi. And their father is the Imam. And after which the Prophet of Allah continues talking about all the Imams. And then he says, O Zahra, when there is this world is going to transform into a state of anarchy, when oppression is going to prevail over mankind, your son will be the one, O Zahra, who is going to bring about justice into this world, who is going to bring about the sunnah that I am leaving behind. This is how the Prophet of Allah is reassuring Hazrat Zahra. And these are the last moments of the Holy Prophet. And what we find, that there is a person who knocks the door of the house of the Holy Prophet. Dakhul bab ek shakhs karta hai. Aur shahzadi jati hain, dar ke piche jati hain. Aur ek martaba kehti hain, ay aane wale, mera baba bahut aleel hai. Mera baba bahut bimar hai. To baad mein aajana, kal aajana, lekin ab yahan se chala ja. پھر تھوڑی دیر کے بعد پھر دخل باب ہوتا ہے ایک مرتبہ پھر زہرا جاتی ہے اور کہتی ہے اے آنے والے میرا بابا بہت بیمار ہے میرا بابا بہت علیل ہے تو بعد میں آ جانا جب تیسری مرتبہ دخل باب ہوتا ہے اور وہی صدا آتی ہے تو ایک مرتبہ زہرا کی آنکھوں سے آنسو رواں ہو جاتے ہیں اور پیغمبر غش سے بیدار ہوتے ہیں اور جب زہرا کو گریان دیکھتے ہیں تو ایک مرتبہ کہتے ہیں کہ میری جان زہرا کیا بات ہے زہرا فرماتی ہیں بابا ایک عرب ہے جو بار بار دخل باب کر رہا ہے اور میں بار بار اسے منع کر رہا ہوں لیکن وہ سننے کے لیے راضی نہیں ہیں ایک مرتبہ زہرا کو رسول اللہ فرماتے ہیں زہرا یہ تیرے در کی عظمت ہے کہ اس در پر ملک الموت بھی اذن دخول لے رہا ہے زہرا یہ ملک الموت ہے جو دخل باب کر رہا ہے اور یہ چاہتا ہے آنے کے لیے زہرا اسے اجازت دے دو بیٹی ایک مرتبہ زہرا گریاں ہیں زہرا رو رہی ہے پیغمبر اتنا زہرا کو تسلی دیتے تھے یہاں پر پیغمبر کی آنکھ بند ہوتی ہے بلکہ ابھی آنکھ بند بھی نہیں ہوتی اتنے مظالم زہرا پر آ جاتے ہیں کہ زہرا کو کہنا پڑتا ہے سبت علیہ مصائب اے بابا آپ کے بعد مجھ پر ایسے ایسے مصائب گزرے اگر وہ روشن دنوں پر پڑتے تو تاریک راتوں میں بدل جاتے. اب دیکھیے عزیزوں کہ پیغمبر نے کتنی محنتیں کی, کتنی مشقتیں کی کہ اس امت کو ہدایت کرے, اس امت کو اللہ کے راستے پر لائے. اور پیغمبر نے کہا, قرآن نے فرمایا, خلا اسألکم علیہ اجرن الا المودۃ فی القربا, کہہ دو اے رسول کہ تم اجر رسالت کچھ بھی نہیں چاہتے مگر صرف مودت اہل بیت, تمہارے اہل بیت کی مودت, تمہارے اہل بیت کی محبت. تو زہرا کو کیسا پرسا دیا جا رہا ہے. اگر زہرا روتی ہے, اگر زہرا اپنے بابا کے غم میں روتی ہے, اگر زہرا اپنی یتیمی پر روتی ہے, تو مسلمان آ کر امیر المومنین سے کہہ رہے ہیں, یا علی فاطمہ سے کہہ دیجئے کہ یا دن میں روئیں یا رات میں روئیں, اس لیے کہ ہماری زندگیوں میں خلل پڑ رہا ہے. زہرا کے لیے بیت الحزن بناتے ہیں امیر المومنین جنت البقیع میں. اپنے چھوٹے چھوٹے بچوں کو لے جاتی ہے زہرا اور وہاں پر گریا کر رہی ہے. زہرا پر کتنی مصیبتیں آ رہی ہے, لیکن ایسے بھی اصحاب ہیں کہ ایک مرتبہ جب دق الباب کرتے ہیں تو دیکھا جاتا ہے بلال آتے ہیں. زہرا کہتی ہے, بلال جیسے تم میرے بابا کے دور میں اذان دیتے تھے, بلال ایک مرتبہ وہ اذان دے دو بلال. بلال اللہ اکبر کہتے ہیں اور زہرا کو غش آ جاتا ہے, اس لیے کہ وہ دور یاد آ جاتا ہے کہ جس میں زہرا کا بابا پیغمبر تھا اور اس کے اصحاب اس کے اطراف ہوتے تھے. کیا ہیبت تھی اور کیا جلال تھا. لیکن عزیزوں میں کہوں گا, بی بی پھر بھی آپ کے کنارے امیر المومنین موجود تھے, آپ کے کنارے اللہ کا وہ بندہ موجود تھا جو ید اللہ تھا, جو سیف اللہ تھا. لیکن کربلا کے مقتل میں ایک 4 سالہ بچی جب یتیم ہوتی ہے تو یکو تنہا یہ بچی کربلا کے مقتل میں چلی جاتی ہے, اپنے بابا کو پکار رہی ہے لیکن کوئی مدد کرنے والا نہیں ہے. یتیمی کا سکینہ کو پہلا تجربہ ہے, یتیم پہلے ہوئی ہے لیکن کوئی نصرت کرنے والا, کوئی تسلی دینے والا, کوئی دلاسہ دینے والا نہیں ہے. یہاں پر شمر کے تماچے ہیں, شمر کے تازیانے ہیں. ایک مرتبہ مقتل کے نشیب سے آواز آتی ہے, الیہ الیہ یا بنیہ. عزیزو پیغمبر کا پرسا دینا ہے, زہرا کو پیغمبر کا پرسا دینا ہے. ولو یہ کہ ہم حق ادا نہیں کر سکتے, اپنے وقت کے امام کو پرسا دینا ہے, ہم حق ادا نہیں کر سکتے, لیکن کوتاہی نہیں ہونی چاہیے کہ ہم پرسا دے سکے. عزیزو پیغمبر کو غش پہ غش آتا ہے اور ایک مرتبہ ہاتف غیبی سے ندا آتی ہے کہ پیغمبر اس دنیا سے اٹھ چکے, لیکن مسلمان اپنی حکومت کے شوق میں, اپنی حکومت کے لیے یہ اپنی سازشیں کر رہے ہیں. پیغمبر کا وسیع یکو تنہا ہے, پیغمبر کا وسیع منتظر ہے, لیکن کوئی دفن و کفن کے لیے نہیں آتا. یہاں تک کہ امیر المومنین اور عباس غسل دیتے ہیں پیغمبر کو اور کفن پہناتے ہیں پیغمبر کو اور اس کے بعد قبر کی طرف لے جاتے ہیں اور پیغمبر کو سپرد خاک کرتے ہیں اور اس کے بعد مسلمان اپنے حاکم کو لے کر واپس آتے ہیں اور جرت کرتے ہیں کہ نماز جنازہ بھی ہوگی اور پھر ہم قبر سے بھی نکالیں گے, ہم پیغمبر کو نماز بھی پڑھائیں گے, ان کی نماز بھی پڑھائیں گے. ایک مرتبہ حیدر کو جلال آ جاتا ہے اور جیسے ہی جلال حیدری کو دیکھتے ہیں تو ایک مرتبہ پیچھے ہٹ جاتے ہیں. لیکن عزیزوں کربلا میں ایک 6 مہینے کا بچہ تھا. جب دشمن گنتی شمار کرتا ہے, علی اصغر کا نام آتا ہے لیکن علی اصغر کا سر نہیں ملتا. ایک مرتبہ کہنے والا کہتا ہے کہ عصر عاشور حسین نے اپنے ششماہے کو خیمے کے پیچھے دفن کیا تھا, اب ماں دیکھ رہی ہے عزیزوں. اور ایک مرتبہ یہ خبر ملائین نیزے کی انی کو زمین میں چبوتے ہوئے
اس قبر کی تلاش کرتے ہیں. ایک مرتبہ نیزے کے ساتھ ننا سا لاشا نمودار ہوتا ہے عزیزو. ایک اور خبر ہے, بلکہ خبر بھی نہیں ہے, گیارہویں محرم ہے, رسول کا نواسا ہے, کوئی دفن کرنے والا نہیں ہے, اپنے اپنے عزیزوں کو دشمن دفن کر لیتے ہیں. ایک مرتبہ نالا بندی ہونا شروع ہوتی ہے اور فضا دوڑتی ہوئی آتی ہے شہزادی کے پاس. بی بی غضب ہو گیا, بی بی کیا ہوا اممہ فضا, میرے شہزادے کے جنازے پر سے گھوڑے دوڑائے جانے والے ہیں, حسین کیو رسول کی آل کا استقبال ایسے ہوا کہ رسول کے نواسے کے لاشے پر گھوڑے دوڑائے گئے. بے کفن و لاشا, بے گور و کفن, کربلا کی خاک پر پڑا. سیالم الذین ظلموا ایم خلمی انخلو انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون. بار الہ تو ہماری خلیل رضاداری کو قبول فرما, ہمیں کوئی غم نہ سوائے غم سید الشہداء کے. جملہ مومنین و مومنات کے حاجات کو بر لا, جو مخروض ہیں ان کے قرضوں کو ادا فرما.